Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Yes, good morning.
All right. We had a bunch of assignments from our weekend on Friday. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance. And then on Saturday, do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on kindness, all the kindness you receive and all the kindness you offer. And Sunday, do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on gratitude for what you have. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Margaret in Nashville.
Hello, Margaret.
You can hear me all right?
Perfectly.
Great. Well, all those things that for all these assignments over the weekend, I feel like I've had that experience. So the way I'm showing and acknowledging appreciation and kindness and compassion for the practitioner is to increase the support for the practitioner who is supporting this human being.
That's an excellent and subtle point. So see if what I just saw when you said that is what you saw when you said that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's the practitioner in this case doing everything she can in suffering, to assist the human being who suffers. Right? And if we're not careful, then we let egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate make life decisions that remove her support.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess as part of the appreciation and offering that to myself was being on a guidance call with you and yesterday, and I really feel grateful and appreciative that you offered that. And one thing that you said that really resonated with both the practitioner and the person on the receiving end of that is you mentioned a teacher who once said to you is to be who you say you are. This is who I am. And since this is who I am, this is what I do.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't kill. And I don't listen to the devil talking me into abandoning the precious human. It's like I'm a person who is committed to waking up and ending suffering for the person who I have the most intimate relationship with and can do it for.
Yes. Yes. Beautifully stated. That's it. And again, it's a subtle place to realize that when identified with ego, we join up with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate to sabotage the practitioner. Not only are we not supporting the practitioner, but we actually engage in sabotaging the practitioner. And so to see that and to make that connection that this is who I am. This is what I do. And there's honor involved here. There's integrity involved here. I'm not going to just make these bad choices that keep a perfectly lovely human being in suffering and pretend like there's nothing going on or I'm not capable of making a different choice, because I am.
Yeah, it's helpful to be clear, and I've had this experience recently too, is like, no, I do know what to do. And, you know, conditioning keeps me from doing the thing, you know, to doing
yeah.
it and giving it to myself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we talked about recording and listening, and that's, you know, that's going to be my main focus here going forward. And how we can, conditioning will easily let us go out and bring too much, but by God, if we're going to, it will not let us record and listen. And somehow, oh, I'll just be guilty, or that'll be okay. I'll just, you know, go out and drink too much. But yet, it won't let us do the thing that will actually really love and support ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that is a lot to see. I'm happy for you.
I am too. Yeah.
And the other thing about it, Margaret, just before I let you go, that this yeah. is not something that you have to develop. You don't have to go out and learn something. This is not a self-improvement course, right? Okay. You are simply choosing in each moment to be who you actually are and not yeah. go with this imaginary presence that is going to talk you into doing things that are against your nature.
Yeah, and I got to say, like, that, like, it's, I don't, there's something big that's happened there. Kind of, I guess, there was a gulp moment last week that someone had, and it's like, not only does a practitioner feel like, yeah, this is the, you know, this is who I am, and just, it feels so good to even just say that.
Yes.
This person, the practitioner, to really acknowledge that that is who I am, and, you know, a person who is, you know, loving and beautiful
capable.
And, you know, perfect as she
and
can.
Capable.
And fully capable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And I feel more
yeah.
capable. Just, like, acknowledging it is...
Yes.
That's really resonating with me very deeply, and it feels very loving.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a very mm-hmm. loving container.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, go happy.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
You too. All right.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Margaret. What a beautiful practice, Sherry, increasing the support for the practitioner, the one who wants
mm-hmm.
to wake up and end suffering, because she's doing the work
mm-hmm.
to keep the human being away from those voices.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to and who can.
Yeah, who wants to.
Right? That's the beautiful part.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the ego is the, oh, I can't do it, it's too hard. I don't, you know, I those voices say I don't want to, and I don't want to, and it's this and that. And it's so disingenuous,
mm-hmm.
if nothing else, right? Because it's just, it's ego lies. Of course
yeah.
we can do this. If we couldn't do it, we wouldn't be here doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and the whole thing about everybody being witnessed, right? Just because she
mm-hmm.
can doesn't mean that she doesn't need to be for her efforts to go unrecognized.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes. We still need support. We need
yeah.
a ton of support, and that support is endlessly, infinitely available to us. When we get those lying, negative, conditioned voices out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Shreni and Sherry. This is Anne, and I am so glad I got on the call this morning. Yay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. We can hear you.
Okay.
What's going on?
So this is like a wow moment in practice, okay? I mean, I'm like bored. I don't even know if I can explain it, but I have been listening repeatedly to the calls from Thursday and Friday, and there because the last 5 minutes of the call on Friday, I don't know if you remember it, but the caller was talking about the sensation of shame, and you said what that really means is that you're loved. Well, I should say the label on top of the sensation was shame, right? So
mm-hmm.
I've been practicing with that all weekend because, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I've just, this door opened and I'm in this, I'm starting practice for the first time. That's what I feel like. So I've been practicing with, okay, here comes a sensation, and I and everybody in the world I know has a karmic reaction to label that a certain thing. And so I've been practicing with feeling a sensation saying, I love you. This means the universe totally and completely loves you. And what I saw in that was, what that sensation is meant to be interpreted as is, there is something wrong, and there is something wrong with you. And it all happens on a nonverbal sensation, subtle level, that I'm just meant to go into hell.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I don't know, and there was something. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no. It's again, go ahead.
No. I want to hear what you have.
All right. Please. So these are subtle places that people are going, right? And it's very much what Margaret was just looking at, right? So there, and I go back to something that we've talked about previously, not necessarily me and thee, but as a group, how people will say, well, I'm calling in. There's a lot of background noise. Is that where you are, Anne? Or?
I don't know. I have my headset on. You want me to take it off and just put you on speaker? Would
that
help?
Hold on, let me try that.
I don't know. It sounds like there's a lot of moving around, but okay.
I was walking, but I'll stand still. Is that better?
Yes, stand still. That's
okay.
Better. That's very good.
Okay.
Thank you. So people would say, "Well, I called in because the voices told me not to." And what we talked about was, no, the voices said don't call in reaction to a movement that you probably missed. That was an impulse from life, from intelligence, to call in. So there's that impulse to call in, and ego says, no, don't call in. So then the person thinks they're calling in reaction to what ego told them not to do, but they're actually calling in response. They're answering the call from life that said, call in. Yeah? And that's what you're describing. So there is an impulse. There's something happening in you. There's a connection with life. There's a and the conditioned reaction from ego is to tighten up, to tense down, shoot a little shot of adrenaline through that means anxiety or fear or whatever it is, or clamp everything down, and that means depression, right? And so what I project, what you realized is that what happened before that was a message from that which animates you. And so instead of being allowed to respond directly to that, which would probably be the heart opening and a feeling of joy bubbling up, instead ego has learned to clamp you down in that way, and then you have to feel bad or be afraid or whatever it is that's going to hell, right? And so realizing that no, that is a reaction to love. Oh, I'm just going to go right to love.
Well, I had never seen that it was a reaction to love, and so I was practicing. I mean, yes. I mean, I'm just in this place of being so, talk about gratitude for this practice. I just feel like a huge anvil put a huge crack in the conditioned armor, you know, that between me and authenticity. I mean, it was just amazing, and I caught myself, you know, so the sensation, the label, and then it goes into conditioned thought patterns, and I caught myself in a conditioned thought pattern. I said, stop, wait, this means that I am so incredibly deeply loved. And it just, the whole thing just disappeared, and I was just here. And I don't know, Sherry, I don't even know that I have words to describe what's happening. It's just like, wow. And the other thing is something you said in the email class, on the communication where somebody did something over the holidays and they said, you know, well, I didn't do a very good job. And you're like, that doesn't matter at all. We're practicing. And I, you know, all this stuff going on, I'm practicing with it. I said, I knew life saying, okay, you have to take a step in this dance. I took a step and I went, oh my God, that was horrible. It was completely unskillful, whatever I would labels I would put on it. And it's like,
who cares? I participate.
I'm practicing.
That's what matters. I'm practicing,
right.
And I am loved. I don't know. I am blown away. I am just completely blown away.
And so when we were talking a little bit ago about be who you are, that's who we are. Yeah, that's who you are. That and that's what you want to be, right? Not that conversation about, oh, I can't and you didn't and it was wrong and I don't and you know, that. Oh,
well,
that's very
I know
good.
It's
very good.
Yes,
very good.
It's just very good. And all the practice, I mean, I'm just grateful to every single person who has the courage to call in because that assists me along the path. I'm just so grateful to Sangha, to the practice.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so grateful I get to practice with everybody on the New Year's retreat. Yay!
Yay! All right. Well,
so thank you to everybody.
See you soon.
Okay. Thank you to everyone.
All right.
Go happy.
Thanks, Ann. Go happy.
Thanks, Ann. Well, I wish we could reflect that lit upness, Sherry. In totality.
I know we got some lit up humans going around here, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. Didn't expect that. Hi, this is Diane in Colorado.
Hello, Diane. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing... Well, I'll tell you what I'm seeing, and then you can, as usual, add some wisdom to it. Every month when we come to the practice or the behavior change for the last week, I do it. And it always feels, or ego tells me that it's kind of perfunctory and no major insights or revelations come from it, and therefore discounts it. And what I'm thinking is that's just ego judging and keep at it.
Trying to get you to stop, Diane. That's what it's trying to get you to do. Yes, it's judging. But the bottom line is, it's trying to get you to stop. Now, how long have you been doing this? Making a change for good?
All year.
Have you been with us all year?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All year. You've stuck with this all year. You've done this all year. You've done this every month. What do we think is involved in that? Is that the kind of thing a person who doesn't, is actually not getting that much out of it, is not making that much, it's perfunctory? Really? Is that how that looks?
No, No, that's not how it looks. And the place where it really comes in is not during the first 2-3 weeks of each subject matter. It's the behavior change, and that's where it, like, what do you mean? Nothing's happening here. Yeah, you're doing it, but blah, blah, blah. I'm not being sold a line that there's no point in doing this class because you're not getting anything out of it. It's more specific than that.
Right, but it's a lie. Because and I'm still going to stick with it's trying to get you to quit. Because if there's no behavior change, if you're not able to change behavior, nothing is ever going to change. Because you can't have a change in consciousness without a change in behavior. Right? And so whether it's going to be success, I mean, I hope to God it's not successful. But that's its strategy. That's what it's going for, is to convince you that it has the ability to assess where you are in awareness practice, which is, I hope everyone finds that as terrifying as it actually is. But that's what it's going for. That it's an authority on where you are spiritually. So you will look to it to guide your awareness practice, to tell you how you're doing. That's terrifying. So what we want to do is toss it and its little assessments out altogether. Because it's projecting. And it is literally saying what's going on with it. Okay? Nothing's happening here. You with me?
Yep. No, I'm totally with you. And it does that all over the place, of course, because
yeah.
It wants to be the tally keeper of practice.
That's right. That's right. And it's a big deal. Okay? It's a big deal. And so I strongly encourage you to give it no more airtime. As soon as you're aware that there's that comparison, that judgment, the assessment, as soon as you see a glimmer of that, you drop it and bring your attention back to the present, back to here. I love practice. This is great. I'm here. Whatever. I choose unconditional love.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to bring attention back to that's in this moment, but don't entertain that voice for a second, because it's not, what it's doing is not inconsequential. It's a brainwashing program. And every time it's able to insert that perspective into your life, it gains and you lose. Okay?
Yes, yes. I've been practicing, you know, okay, fine, I'm doing my practice.
Good, very good, very good. Yep, yep, that's where you want to go. And the last thing I'll say about this is it only says that kind of thing to us when it's not true, which is what Margaret was saying. You know, ego is fine for people to go out and drink too much. Okay, there may be a beating, but they're fine. Ego is fine with that. But record and listen, no, that's never fine. That is never okay. Yeah? So
yep.
It's telling you that there's nothing going on because you're changing.
Well, excellent.
Mm-hmm. It's good news, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's actually quite an excellent barometer or whatever, thermometer, whatever it is. You know, it's always pointing to true south. So you can always know where true north is by going with the opposite of what
yeah.
it's saying. Yeah. Good. Good. All right. Thank you, Diane.
Okay. Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Diane. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, Ashwini. This is Chris in North Carolina.
Hello, Chris. What are you seeing?
Hello. Well, I've just been here resonating, smiling from ear to ear with these conversations, and I think this is along those same lines that was looking at appreciating the practitioner. And how every time that comes up, that conditioning usually comes in with something that, you know, wants to do the bamboozle, to choose something that actually won't appreciate the practitioner. You know, choose something that's fun or novel or something along those lines. And then seeing that and realizing that what the practitioner really likes is to practice, of course. Seems like it should be pretty obvious, right?
Well, I mean, I've just never thought about that until you said it. But that's exactly what would you give a practitioner for Christmas? Practice.
Exactly.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Practice. Okay, good.
Yeah. And he absolutely doesn't care what the content is. He just has this natural curiosity about how things work. And so to appreciate him, it's just to find the time to let him have at it. And, you know, he has no respect for any of the conditioned boundaries. And so it's always an adventure.
Uh-huh. Well, and there's such a, when you describe it, there's that innocence, right?
Yeah.
You know, little kids don't know about boundaries, which may tend to make adults crazy,
right.
But you know, there aren't any boundaries. That's why kids can't see them, and they have to be imposed so that we will believe that something is there that actually isn't there, right? And so for him, of course he's not going to have any interest in that or respect that. He just wants to be here, and here is vast.
Yeah, exactly. So that, as you say, I can feel it. Yeah, it's an infinite playground.
Yes, yes, and it's a marvelous playground because everything reveals it.
Uh huh.
Right.
Yeah.
So whatever one is playing with. When one is playing in that way that we're describing, whatever one is practicing with, when one is practicing, it's fascinating. As you say, it doesn't matter what the content is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm
and that's where he feels appreciated, is in that place. So,
yes.
And then, looking at how, as you say, that the infinite playground, how conditioning wants to limit that. So once you know, ego knows that I am committed to practicing, then it tries to limit that playground by saying, okay, you can practice in these ways and in these areas.
Yeah. In these times.
And in these times,
yeah.
As a way to limit it. And then, of course, on the way to, I think as in the previous conversation, seems to me to get me to quit. I mean, once it's limited, then the impact on my life will be limited, and so
and so why do it, right? I mean, nothing is ever changing, right? You know, I've explored this playground. This isn't, I gotta take up scuba diving,
right?
Because this is
something
not
else.
This isn't giving me a thrill anymore. Well, that's huge.
All good to see.
All good to see. Thank you, Chris.
Yes, thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
Now, what I was saying about that, Sherry, is that it takes such a level of presence and willingness to listen to understand really what someone needs to feel appreciated, that the witnessing process is such a nuanced thing that it's not a wonder that the ego would want to appreciate somebody in exactly the way they don't necessarily want to be appreciated. It doesn't fit. And so that's how the dissonance gets established, right? There's an offer, an intent to appreciate perhaps, but the disconnect is where one looks to offer the appreciation.
Yes.
And if it isn't, if it doesn't match, then everyone feels disappointed. The person who's attempting to appreciate and the person who wants the appreciation. Because even though all of the intentions are good, the application or the delivery of it fails in some way.
Yeah. Which is why we need to turn to life for the appreciation.
Exactly. That the mentor is the perfect person to do that, because the nuance of what the practitioner wants is time to practice and the ability to be curious is something that is only known internally. We could forget the external world, externals attempting to do that resonance. But we could also look at how, if you reference conditioned mind, that's never going to happen.
Right.
Never.
Right. Because as we keep going back to, because conditioning, ego, is the no to life's yes. Right? That's why it's never, ever, ever, ever going to happen. It's never going to work.
Yeah.
Ego is dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
And you know, with what you're saying, Ashwini, the fascinating part to me is that something can be exactly right on target, and the ego will say, no, that missed the mark. Mm-hmm. Did it miss the mark? No, it didn't miss the mark. But if we look to ego for the assessment, that missed the mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, it's time to celebrate. That's our assignment today. Oh. Do your daily practice. It's time to celebrate. How are you going to do that? Alone, with a partner, with a friend, with a crowd, with a party. Have that celebration.
Wow. Party time. All right. Very exciting. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. And thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, everybody. All right. Go happy.
Go happy.